superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Janoris Jenkins, pick six.
Drop by Beckham, a wide open drop.
Touchdown, Joe Burrow.
Heard nationwide, televised online at richeisenshow.com.
Newton to the pylon.
Got
touchdown,
it.
Down, Patriots.
Earlier on the show, Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake. Bears head coach Matt Nagy. Coming up, ESPN host and announcer Chris Fowler. Plus, Las Vegas Raiders general manager Mike Mayock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our program. Chris Fowler joining us in a matter of moments here as he's getting set to call Monday Night Football between the Steelers and the Giants, and then the Titans and the Broncos with Steve Levy on the call with Lewis Riddick and Brian Greasy. That's the team that we'll be listening to for all the Mondays, including next Monday night's game between the New Orleans Saints and the Vegas Raiders. Mike Mayock will be joining us, coming off of a big-time win for him and the Raiders in Carolina yesterday. Our poll question we haven't visited in a bit. Let's visit that at the top of hour number three. What do you have over there, Chris?
Yeah, looking at the biggest shock from Sunday sports action, NFL, and around the sports world. Bears comeback win. Brady loses his Bucs debut. The Jags spoil Phillip Rivers' Indianapolis debut, and the Nuggets force game seven. What say you, Rich Eisen?
The biggest shocker for me was the Nuggets forcing game seven.
Oh.
I'm going to be very honest with you. As you know, on Friday's uncorking of a new segment here called Higher Register, where, you know, we always go up here whenever we say something that kind of need to be, need to believe, because we don't really believe it. And I'm like, hey, the Jaguars might tank. Might not tank. They might not be bad. So part of me believed in them. Brady, as you know, it's going to take a while for him to get things going. I thought winning in New Orleans going on the road in a pandemic would be tough.
Tough.
And then the Bears coming back. I mean, crazier things happen. I could not believe. As you know, I chose the Clippers to win it all. And ever since then, they did win. Game four to go up 3-1 yeah. After I said that. So I can't be blamed for the games five and six losses. But I got to be honest with you. I bet you I'm losing on that front because it's an NBA conversation the day after the NFL returns.
Well, I mean, Nuggets force game seven, second at 32%. Jaguars win 36%.
How about that?
Wow. Bears 25%. Brady loses 7%.
So the Clippers and the Nuggets, game seven will be tomorrow night. As the Lakers chill and wait.
I'm looking forward to watching Jack and Rose on that boat tomorrow during that game.
We talking playoffs or what?
Very good.
We are.
I like that. Now, that was Randy from Long Island, right?
Yes.
Who loves the Giants. That's who he's talking about.
Yep.
So Randy from Long Island will be watching tonight's game, as will Matt Nagy, who was an hour number two, the coach of the Bears, said, hey, I will be tuned to tonight's game because he's playing the Giants next.
Yep.
And everyone will be gathered around the television set to watch the Giants and the Steelers. And the man who called so many remarkable matches at the U.S. Open, including a five-set tiebreak, the man who puts the team, if you will, not only in the winner of the U.S. Open, but the team player, who not only called all that action over the weekend for ESPN, but is calling tonight's game along with Kirk Herbstreit and Maria Taylor, as he always does for college football, but tonight's NFL game between the Giants and the Steelers. My friend Chris Fowler here on the show. How are you, Chris?
I'm staring out the window at MetLife Stadium across the turnpike here, contemplating what comes next. I'm well. It's
exciting.
It's kind of surreal,
yep.
But it says very 2020. You know, empty but intense Arthur Ashe Stadium, empty but intense MetLife Stadium the next night. Why not?
I was going to say to you, you're one of the few announcers who were calling a week one NFL game who already knows what it's like to call an intense affair in front of hardly anybody. I mean, what was that like sitting in Arthur Ashe the last couple weeks? Certainly over the weekend.
You could overuse the word surreal. Now, bizarre to see someone like Serena on the court with zero fans and to see a ghostly empty place for the men's final. But I tell you what I've noticed in the tennis is what I've seen in the NBA playoffs, certainly the NHL playoffs. Haven't had a huge sample of games in the NFL. I watched a couple, but the on-field or on-court intensity is not diminished one iota.
That's right.
In fact, it's almost easier to put the focus on that. I think fans who watch football games, you're not going to get those crowd shots, you're not going to get the roar, but you're going to get, I think, a more intense focus on the participants and the sounds of it. I'm not trying to sell fanless football. I can't wait till crowds get back in it, but in trying to adapt and adjust and see what's different, like in tennis, we were able to just really focus in on. You could hear the players breathing on the court. It was just very weird. But what I noticed was they competed just as hard. They wanted to win just as badly. They didn't get anything back from the crowd, but they didn't need it. And in that case, I don't think NFL players are going to need it either.
Now, ESPN did not pipe in whistles, right, for bad line calls during the U.S. Open. That they did not do that, right? The same weird stuff for the NFL.
I think humans are going to be endangered species when it comes to calling lines at a lot of major tournaments. They're going to go to pure technology right off the bat and do away with the challenge system and just let the machines do it. That's probably the future.
Well, I mean, it's safer if Djokovic is on the court too, Chris, right?
Wow.
Is that wrong? Is it too soon? Yeah,
too
is it
soon.
Too soon, Chris?
Too soon.
I mean, she's recovered, thankfully. The line's the one that he hit in the Adam's apple. But
oh, my word.
No, I did a video afterwards, and I don't know how this football season or the rest of the sports calendar is going to play out. You guys are talking about some twists and turns in the playoffs.
Right.
I think buckle up. We're going to see unpredictable stuff that's hard to expect and hard to explain to people because it's just 2020, man, and nothing is normal. I think that you're going to have unlikely outcomes, and I think it's going to be a serious mental test in the NFL as the season goes on, guys. Any sport, guys who are opting in now, you can still be opting in when your team's like 3-6. I mean, I hope it's a positive statement about the culture of these teams so they can keep guys together because we're all going through stuff in our own way. But it's just as it's a challenging, tough year on the planet, it's got to be the same in the sports landscape.
So let me ask
you. Not to get too deep.
No,
soon,
no, Chris.
That's what I feel.
Come on, Chris. It's not deep. I mean, look, we're all trying to figure stuff out. You know, I'm waking up every day checking the air index to see if it's healthy for my kids to go out. You know, on their PE classes that they have in quotes during their, you know, online learning. I mean, it's a crazy world we're living in right now. Chris Fowler joining me here, getting set to call the Monday nighter between the Giants and the Steelers. And before we get to that, what do you know about your college football schedule as you're currently sitting here right now? What do you know about that?
It's funky. I mean, I think, you know, the Big Ten is going to have their big decision about whether or not they're going to try to crank things up. It's still possible they could crank things up much sooner than people expect and try to squeeze a season in there that could somehow put them in position to be in the playoff. I mean, it seems crazy given what the announcement that they made, but that's in flux. Your Wolverines may yet take the field sooner than you'd expect. But I'm not breaking a story. That's just kind of that's potentially what could happen. But you know, besides that, the games we know that are going to happen, there's a few leagues that are up and running. The SEC gets up and running in a couple of weeks, but the schedule is very much up in the air.
So
typical.
No, that's the reason why. Look, I know, again, you've had your head and your voice in the game at U.S. Open tennis, and then, you know, you got to turn around and get ready for an NFL game tonight. That's why I asked you about your schedule, because –
yeah.
Do you know, like, what your next – and I know that's kind of crazy to ask this of somebody.
I wish they could hit the tape and collapse after 2 weeks plus in the bubble over there and this challenge tonight. But, no, we're back Miami at Louisville Saturday as an ACC game. That is the first game, and then we're sort of off and running after that. It'll be a mixed bag, but I'm just glad to be calling games, man.
I bet. So. I know that. I know. We spoke over the summer, and we're like, I don't know, NFL, and now here you are coming off of a successful U.S. Open tournament, getting set to call Monday Night Football between the Giants and the Steelers. How did you prepare for this, doing all that, what you've done? Like, walk me through it.
Right down to the first tee. I mean, it'll be a it's a lot, man. You know, the amount of information at your disposal. I thought we got a lot of it in college. It's beyond in the NFL. So you're sifting and sorting and discarding and figuring out how not to smother a telecast. I mean, my tendency probably is to over-prepare and overplay. So I'll try to guard against that tonight. But it's been a process over the month. You try to like get ready for it. But then what I didn't realize, Rich, there's about half the players on an NFL board, right? So it should be easier.
Right.
But the fluidity of the rosters right down to the last minute, you don't have that in college, right? You don't sign a dude who's on the field 5 days later starting against the Steelers. Right? The Giants roster in particular, as you probably know, is just very fluid, but there's so many new faces. And so I try to get ready, but it's going to take every minute I've got. And then we're just going to have it's sort of a one-off. It's the one game we'll do this year. And it's really cool for me to see guys that I got to know in college, and you follow them through that draft night.
Yep.
And you're proud of what they did in a detached way, but you feel like you get to know them. And so it's really cool to reconnect with guys like, you know, TJ Watt and, you know, Dexter Lawrence and Jabril Peppers and Saquon Barkley. I mean, these are guys that we got to know pretty well. And now to hear these guys talk as, you know, very mature men and, you know, veterans of the league, it's Kirk and I both feel the same way, and Maria as well. It's fun. We're going to enjoy that aspect of it tonight.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, did you go back to some of your Saquon notes from Penn State games, or even like your college game day, maybe with Miami of Ohio on the schedule with Big Ben from 2003? Like, did you go into your archives in prep for tonight?
Ben was laughing. Ben said he was more nervous for this game tonight because obviously missing last year and not wanting to let the teammates down than he has been since the MAC championship game, which he was in college, which Kirk, I think, was broadcasting. So we were having a laugh about that. But I think I would be idiotic to sit there and start spinning old tales about dudes, what they did in college. I mean, these guys are pros. Our audience expects us to refer to them as pro football players. I mean, it's inevitable that we're going to have an anecdote or two because I think it's interesting, but we're not going to overdo that for sure.
Did you Zoom with Joe Judge in between U.S. Open tennis matches? Did you do something like that, Chris?
My day yesterday was Zoomed with the Giant players in the morning before I left for the stadium, set up in the booth before the final for the Joe Judge Zoom, called the final. During the match, the Steelers Zooms were recorded. Unfortunately, I couldn't be a part of that. But then went home at night after the final, tried to decompress, and listened to all the Zoom calls from Tomlin, Ben, Connor, all the Pittsburgh players. It was quite a day, I promise you.
Well, and of course, as you're trying to prepare for Monday night, Chris, you get the first U.S. Open champion in 71 years to come from the first two sets down, like team did. So you got that going for you.
Exactly. I'm thinking, when it's like two sets to low, four all, Zverev with 6 points from winning, I think, okay, this is going to be a crap final. It's going to be remembered as a bad final, but at least I'll have a few more hours to prep. But you can't get caught. You know, 3 hours later, this is a pretty damn memorable final, and I just lost 3 hours. But, you know, listen, you want to always call great matches.
Of course.
When the final of a tournament is a dud, it's just poor punctuation for the event. There's so much went into staging this U.S. Open. I mean, against all odds, it actually came off really well. People did not get infected. The safety record was really good. I'm glad we got a final that, if not aesthetically pleasing throughout, at least was dramatic at the end, and two guys who could barely walk or stand up kind of emptying the bucket. That's kind of cool to see.
Chris Fowler, a couple more minutes left with Chris before he goes into MetLife and calls the Giants and the Steelers tonight. What a fun matchup that's going to be, and I can't wait to sit down and watch it.
I hope so. I hope the Giants can hang with them, frankly. I have some concerns, but if we get a great game, that's a bonus.
Well, I mean, again, and seeing what Big Ben looks like, Chris. Obviously, that is a monster storyline for 2020. If the Big Ben that we have come to know as a first ballot surefire Hall of Famer shows up and starts winging it around, and Juju Smith-Schuster from 2018 starts materializing on the screen, then we may have a different AFC that we're talking about. That's what we're talking about there.
Yeah, I know everybody's given the division of Baltimore, but a lot of folks at Kirk and others who've been diving into Pittsburgh, if exactly what you said happens, they're not only a surefire playoff team, a lot of people think they can go deep in the playoffs. But we'll see. It'll be fun to watch tonight for sure.
Certainly. And then I guess last one for you, your pod that's dropping soon. Let's talk about that. I know quite a bit about it since I'm on the first one that you are producing with Jennifer, your lovely, fantastic, better half. I give you the floor on this, Chris.
You're part of a very flattering 4x1 relay.
Okay.
Willie Geist, Maria Taylor, you, and then Jeremy Schapp running the anchor leg. I don't know what we were thinking. I mean, we had four great storytellers. It's a ton of content. We didn't edit out too much of it, but it is like an hour. It's a double album. It's really an interesting look. You guys were all great. It's about talking to people, which is the essence of a podcast. And it's not going to be a sports pod. It's different topics that kind of interest me, and I hope others. But you guys were all great. And so we just said, let's just debut with the double album. I think people will enjoy the stories, and I very appreciate you giving your time to it.
Oh, come on, Chris.
It'll be out possibly slightly delayed. There's more to this than I thought. I'm a newbie at this thing.
Okay.
But by midweek, wherever you find your podcasts, it should be dropped or released or whatever they do with the podcast.
What's the name of it? What are we looking for? What's the
is that who you got? We found out that not in the sports context.
Yes.
You get that annoying question. I'm sure you get that annoying question. John Madden got that question when I first met him. I was shadowing him as an eager young college kid, and people were, "Hey, John, who you got?" And I saw how grumpy he got when he got that question. And you get it all the time, but this is in relation to who we got in terms of guests. So every podcast name is taken by three other podcasts out there. If you didn't know that, you try to come up with something that hasn't been used. And since 77% of Americans have a podcast, it's sort of like everything is taken. But I mean, just Fowler podcast. It's easy to find that.
Okay. All right. So I enjoyed the chat. It is a great idea where you talk to people who talk to people for a living, and you have a conversation about having a conversation, and when things go a little bit awry, when they shake. And I know you told the story on Dan's show when you appeared last week right here on Peacock, but you do have to enlighten my viewers, because you enlightened me to this story that you told about Burt Reynolds. I want to give you the floor here, Chris, to finish up strong.
I'll do the truncated version, because I don't want to tell a long
story.
This
is great, Chris.
Time. But no, it ended up with a 70-something-year-old Burt Reynolds wanting to punch my lights out on the field where he used to run around as a Seminole player. but it began backstage at Radio City. At least for me, that was my first encounter with Burt. I knew him a little bit because he's Lee Corso's roommate at FSU. And so he's been around a little bit. He's a football fan and a booster of the program, the late legend. I'm walking backstage to the ESPYs. I had finished presenting. I'm full of myself. It was pretty exciting to be on stage at Radio City. And I'm walking through the dark. There's the curtains and the pulleys backstage. And I feel this sharp punch to my left shoulder. Look out, and it's Burt Reynolds. Hey, Burt, don't you give me that. He's got a finger in my face. And we talked in the pod. It's interesting. You tell a very funny, actually a couple of funny mistaken identity stories.
Yep.
This was mine. I said nothing to offend Burt. I swear I said nothing in my life. Why would I talk about Burt Reynolds' divorce with Lonnie Anderson? But he was convinced that I had said something when I kicked him down, and now he was going to punch me when I wasn't expecting it. And we started this bizarre feud. And you know, the reason why it's in the pod is because he wouldn't be interviewed by me. It's an interview that didn't happen because he would not sit on the game day set. So he put him a little side set where he and Lee could kibitz. But, it was a weird situation. Now I'll never know the answer to it, because I asked Corso, please ask your friend why he hates me, why he thinks I said something that was the worst thing he'd ever heard. And Lee just shook his head and smiled. Oh, that's Bert. I have no idea. So the mystery will go on forever. I'll never know why he punched me and wanted to. You know, he wanted to throw down on the sidelines of Doak Campbell Stadium.
Fantastic.
And he said, you don't want to fight a 70-year-old man? And he said, no, Bert, I do not. As I said to you, that's a no-win.
Okay? Yes, of course.
You either punch a legend and your career is over, you might go to jail and you might not get out of there alive because they love Burt Reynolds, or a septuagenarian kicks your ass.
Ask Pedro Martinez about Don Zimmer.
And there's no, that's not a win. There's no good situation there. So
it's a great pod, man.
I backed away and let him blow off steam, and I went to the other side of the field to watch the game. And I still have no idea why he was mad. So.
And if anybody, as somebody who's known you for as long as I've known you, Chris, you could not care less about the stuff like Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson and their divorce. Like that.
I don't know how that would have come up on game day, Rich. I just don't think that in between breaking down the day's games, that would have come up. But
Chris,
it did. And Chris, of all the people out there that may have said something, I don't know who he thought I was. As I told you, maybe it was you. Maybe you said something.
It could have been. I don't think
so. He
was
mad at you.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But that might have. That maybe that's what cost me my appearance in Cannonball Run 3. I didn't know if that that might have been.
I mean, maybe it was Billy Bush when he did the entertainment show. I don't know. I mean, the kind of show to talk about that.
Exactly.
Not a football show.
But anyway. We're talking about it on the Fowler podcast that'll be dropping later on this week. I'm thrilled about that. And Susie and I, with the kids, could not be more excited to settle in to watch the game with you calling it tonight. And I know you're talked out. I really appreciate you spending all this time talking with me on a big day. Thank you.
No, you got me fired up. There's some good storylines. I hope the game's good. And then it's back to the Saturday night battles in the college gridiron.
I look forward to a full season on that front too, Chris. Thanks for the call. Best to Jennifer. Take care.
Take care, Rich. Thanks.
You bet. You got it. That's Chris Fowler.
The best.
Was at my wedding getting served Jägermeister shots by Dan Patrick behind the bar.
And he probably looks exactly the same.
And just real quick, the stories that I told off of that was Ken Wisenhunt coming on the set at the Super Bowl between the Cardinals and the Steelers at NFL Total Access, staring a hole through me as he was being introduced prior to the break, after which he was going to appear live with Adrian Wilson, the hard-hitting safety of his NFC Championship team, staring a hole through me the entire commercial break saying, I heard what you said about us. Him being so pissed about being called the worst team in the history of the NFC playoffs, using it as fuel to his fire to get his team to the championship, the Super Bowl, staring a hole through me the entire time, thinking I said it when it was Chris Collinsworth who said it the entire time. Stories like that are just great. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take a phone call. We will get set for Mike Mayock's phone call. Talk about awkward conversations that we used to have. And then Chris Brock with a new Michael Thomas update on his injury and more in a moment. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be. The official partner of the NFL.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your sign up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I just want to circle back. I just spent the commercial break looking at a video that Dan Orlovsky of ESPN posted of the big fourth and three play that I started the show with. Said that throwing it to a kid, a rookie who's not running at the sticks on a fourth and three, and there's a lot of blame. Orlovsky basically saying, good play call. Rams just blew it up.
Rams defense played really
that the
well.
Rams
man.
Blew it up. The Rams defense made an excellent play, that it was set up to succeed, and the Rams blew it up. So that's why you kicked the field goal. I'm sorry. I know that might be 20-20 hindsight, but I was saying it watching it. Why are they not kicking the field goal? Tie the game. Do your best from here on out. Tie the game.
Not a time left.
Then it is an 11-minute game. Yep. It's an 11-minute game, yeah. Tie game. Okay. They get the ball first. But maybe you're thinking that our defense is all wiped out because they did have a significant disadvantage in time of possession because the Rams were just jamming it down their throat throughout. Maybe sitting there thinking the defense won't have much left. I don't want to give the ball back. I do have an opportunity with my offense to try and be aggressive and get points. It's just too risky a play, I think.
I feel like throughout the years, a lot of Cowboy fans have been upset with Dallas's play calling,
you
saying that we don't take enough, you know, that we don't go for it enough. So I feel like from a fan perspective, I'm sure a lot of fans were probably happy to see that they kind of went for that with 11 minutes left because we've been so safe.
Yeah, but the number you haven't been safe is that we're back here on our terrestrial radio network. We say hello to our mightier 1090 fans. You're in Southern California. Garrett was aggressive, too. He just didn't know when to be aggressive and when not. He would be not so aggressive sometimes and be like, this is the time, and be aggressive in a moment like last night when it's like, that's not the time. I was thinking the same. I am not coming on the air today and saying something I wasn't thinking at the moment.
Great tackle, man.
It was.
CD looks like he had a first down, too.
It was.
Great tackle.
Mike Mayock calling in a bit. Chris Brockman, I'd like to get some injury news from you before Mike Mayock of the Raiders calls in, because Mike obviously has got some injury news to talk about with Henry Ruggs, who looked pretty damn fast and impressive early on and then got hurt. What do you have for me over there? Chris Brockman's news update.
Ooh. And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have?
So Michael Thomas didn't have a great game, came up kind of limp at the end there, almost got rolled up by a teammate. Tom Pelissero and Ian from NFL Network saying that Michael Thomas suffered the dreaded high ankle injury. It's something he believes he can play through. And they have an extra day of rest, of course, because they play on Monday night. So not ruling Thomas out, of course, just yet, but keep an eye on this.
Yeah, New Orleans at Vegas.
High ankle sprain.
Up by 11 with 2 minutes to go with the ball. And a lot of starters staying a little too long. I mean, maybe that's 20-20 hindsight for Sean Payton, but see what happens.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs.
Kamara looked terrific. Yeah. Looked paid and running with light pockets, even though he was paid. That's a Dion phrase right there.
Yeah,
when somebody's looking for a contract, he's running with light pockets. When he runs well with heavy pockets, that's for damn sure.
I mentioned the two Cowboys injuries earlier. Leighton Vander Esch going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Broken collarbone, undergoing surgery. And Blake Jarwin tore his ACL. He is done for the year. The Colts also plays Marlon Mack on IR. It's going to end his season with a torn Achilles. That's such a bummer for him. He's in a contract year. Adam Gase said today that Le'Veon Bell could miss a couple of weeks with a hamstring issue. Doesn't want to put a timetable on them, he says.
I mean, I can't imagine. Le'Veon Bell is one of the most disappointing Jet free agent acquisitions in the team's history so far. And you maybe can't blame him either. He's sitting there right now, Monday Night Football. Do you think he'd like to be playing with the Steelers right now? Do you think?
Big time. Do you think he regrets sitting out the way he did?
I don't think he regrets sitting out. I think he thought he was doing the right thing. But if he's sitting around thinking, you know, he's in a better spot than playing in Pittsburgh, PA, he should be in that stadium tonight, but for the away team. He'd be better off.
Brian Flores said earlier today that Fitzmagic is going to start against Buffalo in week two, so no Tua just yet. The Browns are signing Cody Parkey, and he is going to kick Thursday night against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football.
Is Randy Bullock's cramp stopped, by the way?
Yeah, the Bengals believe that is an issue that he'll work out this week, and he's not expected to miss any time.
You know, maybe he should drink some more water before those game-time kicks.
That was so weird. We talked about Nagy earlier.
I still can't believe that.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
I can't either.
Yes, sir.
I can't either.
What else?
About the coaches real quick. So Troy Vincent, NFL exec, according to Adam Schefter, sent a sharply worded memo to clubs today reminding coaches on the importance of wearing their face coverings on the sideline. Different coaches have approached mask rules in different ways. This has been noticed by the league. Most notably, Sean McVay last night had it down around his chin. If this continues, coaches will get fined for not wearing their mask the proper way on the sideline.
I do have the memo in front of me because I work for the National Football League Network. It reads the following. This is from Troy Vincent, who's in charge of football operations. A tremendous first week nearly in the books as the NFL and its partners overcame considerable challenges to achieve what many thought was impossible, football in 2020. Congratulations to all who have worked so tirelessly since March to make the season possible. That said, not a good one. Here's a that said. We must remain vigilant and disciplined in following the processes and protocols put in place by not only the league, union, and clubs, but also by state and local governments. The NFL-NFLPA game protocol, which reflects the advice of infectious disease experts, club medical staffs, and local and state governmental regulation, requires all individuals with bench area access, including coaches and members of the club medical staff, to wear face coverings at all times. Failure to adhere to this requirement will result in accountability measures being imposed against offending individuals and or clubs. The face covering must be worn as designed so that it securely fits across the wearer's nose and mouth to prevent the transmission of the virus. I would like to take that last statement and have it with me on my T-shirt when I go into supermarkets. Or when dude who wears a mask like it's a chin strap walking past me and then affixes it properly once he's past me.
Well, the coaches were doing it, Rich. I was watching a lot, and I saw it when they were talking on their coach, the comms. I saw a lot of coaches because they were kind of doing it as like a reaction. They weren't involved. Right. Like they were doing it just to do it.
And then you got Andy Reid who looks like he wants to stay away from the salad bar, which is exactly what he wants to do anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
Hey.
I mean,
he looks like he's lost some weight.
I understand.
Show the ring, get a cheeseburger. I'm in with the ring.
Hey, my next guest knows what I'm talking about. He knows how I feel about Andy Reid, and he knows I'm not wrong. He's the Las Vegas Raiders general manager of the 1-0 Vegas Raiders, Mike Mayock. How are you, Mike?
Rich, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Do you have that Andy Reid face shield ready? Do you got that? Do you got that?
I did not opt in for that one, no.
No? So, you had to be, look, it's a serious subject. We're all letting our smile be our umbrella a little bit here, but you got to be chuckling a little bit seeing Andy Reid all fogged up on Thursday night.
Andy's one of my favorite people in the world.
I know.
And as you know, I did a bunch of Eagles preseason games and lived in Philly and got to know him. And there isn't a better guy out there. And I think the whole league got a little collective chuckle. And, like at halftime, we were all going, come on, man, take the shield off. Just come out in a mask. And he didn't. And, again, it's not a laughing matter, but that was the visual was kind of cute.
I was kind of surprised because Andy's the king of holding the menu in front of his mouth so nobody reads his lips. Now you've got a mask. I mean, this actually helps make sure no one can read your lips, and it helps public health and safety, Mike. It's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I didn't quite think of it that way, but I guess you're right with all the fog in there.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. At any rate, let's get to your team. Congrats on that opening win. Were you there? Did you go to Carolina? Do you travel with the team?
Oh, yeah. I test every day. Have tested every day since we've been back in early July, and would not miss a game.
Okay, so now what happens now? Since this is your perfect person to ask, because now this is when I'm holding my breath. We just had vectors crossed between teams. We haven't had that yet until games are being played. What happens now? Testing every day, and then you're holding your breath for 4 or 5 days from now? Is that what your health officials are telling you of when something might start popping?
Well, technically, there was nobody on that field yesterday that was positive.
Right.
You know, and that's what you have to believe in. And to be honest with you, I kind of went into this thing a couple of months ago going, I don't know what's going to happen here. You read reports around the country. You try and stay current, both within the sport and in society in general, and you kind of go, man, I don't know if we can do this. And then I have to give a lot of credit to the doctors and the medical people involved, both for the NFL and the NFLPA, and kind of coming together. And at first, you looked at all these protocols. And, Rich, I have a binder that I carry around with me with protocols, mm-hmm. and I didn't think that was part of the job when I took it.
Right.
And, you know, it takes you away from the football on one side, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you go back to June, July, and we all kind of looked at these protocols like, you got to be kidding me. How are we going to conduct a training camp? How are we going to have meetings? And now in hindsight, when you look at the thousands and thousands of tests and the minimum number of positive tests, and you go, I guess these guys knew what they were talking about, and that's number one. And number two, a lot of respect for the players on all 32 teams for taking it seriously. And you're right, the next challenge was kind of, okay, we're going to be on the same field together. But technically, we were all clean yesterday, and I'm not even thinking about that a whole lot right now. We're trying to get ready for the New Orleans Saints, and I'm trusting in these protocols because they've been so good to us.
That's so great. And I'm glad, first of all, a little bit of kidding, I'm glad you've graduated to a binder from the Scholastic fourth grade notebook that used to scroll your combine notes into. I'm glad you've at least got a new binder.
I still have the Our Lady of Lourdes fourth grade notebook, and I will never relinquish that.
Okay.
But right. There is a place in my world for loose papers sitting in a binder.
See, this is what happens when you go from broadcasting to general managing. You have to evolve. You have to evolve. But I'm glad to hear that you're saying, you know what, obviously you are thinking about it when you say you're not thinking about it, but the fact that you can trust a process that is in place and start thinking about the other aspects of being a general manager, that is great to hear. Let's talk, if you wouldn't mind, about the other medical, if you will. How is Henry Ruggs doing today? What's going on with that young man?
He was able to finish the game, and everybody's going through the medical part this morning right now,
right.
And we'll figure out as the week progresses.
Okay, but what did you glean from his performance when he was out there, Mike?
Well, he's kind of as advertised, you know. He's fast, which we all know. Derek threw a vertical to him early in the game, which I think helped back them off a little bit, and then hit him on a 45-yard deep over. Again, which kind of announced his presence and opened things up underneath a little bit. And then, he had three catches. He had a couple carries. I just think he's everything we hoped he would be up to this point. And what's really cool about it is Nick Saban told me when I had the conversation with Nick prior to the draft, and Nick said, look, Mike, he approaches every day like he's a walk-on. And he's tough beyond what you would consider a wide receiver to be, and both those things have been very true.
Well, I mean, and then Josh Jacobs. I mean, my God, Mike. I know you loved him. He basically had you at hello when you saw him, certainly in person. But what he is becoming right now, you know, I told you last year that he reminded me of Zeke, you know, and I didn't want to put any sort of Ziggy on him or punch the clown. He is a phrase that you always used when we were working together.
Right.
But my gosh. He runs with a viciousness, and he delivers. He arrives with an intent. He's dynamite, man. And I'm wondering what you think that after seeing, you know, he's on the same field as McCaffrey, and he's given as much as you're taking yesterday.
Yeah, he had 29 touches for 139 yards and three touchdowns. And I think we've kind of come to take for granted him in the run game. I think what he did yesterday was show people how he's evolved as a receiver. He caught a choice route over the middle against Shaq Thompson, and that is as good a choice route as I've seen a running back run. And then in two steps later, left their free safety in the dust with kind of a dead leg move and picked up 28 yards on a crucial play for us on a little choice route over the middle. And he had four catches yesterday. I think he's a cool blend of short area quickness and incredible power. And you know the backstory to the kid. You know, he lived with his father and siblings in a car for a while when they were in high school. And what I'm most proud about is not just the football. He's evolving as a really cool, immensely mature young man.
That's great.
And he's just, I love being around him.
And he is one specifically, no question, to root for. How is Trent Brown doing? What can you tell me about him, Mike?
Well, again, it's the same thing. He's going for MRI, and we're going to see what it looks like. And we think we're a little bit different when he's in the lineup, but, you know, we need to get him back in the lineup.
Okay. And speaking of back in the lineup, Abram, he looked like the kid you drafted yesterday, or what?
Yeah, he had a good game. I mean, defensively, we need to get a lot better and more detailed, but John flew around. He had 13 tackles. He's a guy we think can be a difference maker, and he really played a good football game yesterday.
When you say more detailed, what do you mean, Mike? What do you mean by that, about your defense? Do you mean more detailed?
Well, again, without preseason games and with as much youth as we have on our defense, I mean, we might have the one of the youngest secondaries in the NFL for sure. And we just don't have enough live reps yet. So just little things. I think there's some talent back there, but we just have to pay attention to the details.
Well, now you sitting in your, if you will, silver and black ivory tower of being a management in the NFL, all of us back in the media days that you used to be in, we're talking right now, Mike, that we don't need preseason football based on how we're seeing week one. What would you say to us that are sitting out here saying preseason football should be never returned again? What do you say to that?
Couldn't disagree more. And, you know, you can have the conversation about whether you need four preseason games, but I would say a minimum of two. And I think we learned a lot of lessons, I think, with the challenges from the draft going forward. And I thought the NFL in general, and I think we all embraced the challenges. And but what you don't want to do is you don't really want to go into the NFL regular season without seeing your young guys tackle on punts, punt protect, special teams. You know, we have rookies that we cut that we thought were pretty good football players that never got a chance to tackle a guy live. And that's not fair. It's not fair to the guy. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the fans, but I look at it through a different prism. And I say it's not fair to the young players who are trying to make a living in this league. And it makes it a heck of a lot tougher on the evaluators also. You know, we're trying to cut people and not cut people, and we haven't even seen people get tackled yet. So I'd very much not be in favor of eliminating the entire preseason.
Vegas GM Mike Mayer, a couple minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the scoop with Mariota? What ails him, and when can we expect to see him back?
He just had a kind of freak little injury. We put him on short-term IR, which means he'll be back in the next couple of weeks, and he should be better than ever. And I think when we signed him, part of the conversation was he had to have some off-season surgery on his ankle, and he had to get himself right medically, and that's where we still are. We're trying to get him 100% medically, because when he is 100%, he brings a little different dynamic to the table.
So getting him in there, you think? Is that what you're saying? Getting him on the field?
Oh, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying we got to get him right medically.
Okay. Yeah. Have you noticed, Mike, that in this conversation I've asked you injury news that you definitely don't want to talk about and mixed it in with questions that I thought I could get a much more involved answer from you? Have you noticed that during this conversation, Mike?
Rich, you're a nuanced interviewer.
See, I know you see through me, Mike. You've stared through me before. I know you see through me, but I just, you know, I'm trying to get information. So you're saying Marcus Mariota, it's his ankle that hurts him? Is that the freak injury?
No, I told you he had off-season ankle injury.
Okay. So what's the freak injury?
We don't talk about it.
Fight Club.
All right. So have you, you know, when I worked with Buck Showalter many, many moons ago, I bring this up because Buck told me he had something specific that he would do when he was the manager and also kind of de facto major domo of the Arizona Diamondbacks about their new stadium. Is there anything you put your own finishing touches on that we'll be seeing next Monday night on the new stadium, Mike Mayock?
Heck no. I mean, thing was already designed and under construction by the time they hired me. So I'm just very appreciative I get to work there eventually.
So is there anything like the Mike and Ikes? Like, have you told them I need to have some sort of, you know, candy? Or some, like, is there anything that you set up for your viewing pleasure in this new stadium?
I don't even know where I'm sitting.
Come on. Really?
I'm being serious. I have no idea. I mean, we have an empty stadium, and I don't know what's open and what's not open. And to be really honest with you, I don't really care what's, you know, that's not really on my plate. We got the New Orleans Saints, who you failed to mention so far in this entire conversation, on Monday Night Football. And we're talking about Mike and Ikes in the seats.
The evaluation process by Mike Mayock never ceases. Never cease to amaze. All right, so tell me, what challenges do the New Orleans Saints present to your Las Vegas Raiders, Mike?
Look, they're one of the top franchises in this league. Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton have done an amazing job.
Yes.
And everybody wants to talk about Drew Brees, as they should, and Alvin Kamara, as they should. Mm-hmm. But they've got Michael Thomas. They've got weapons on offense. I think their front four, led by Cameron Jordan, who probably – I don't think he's missed a game in 9 years – and I don't know why people don't talk about him more. Mm-hmm. They got four first-round defensive linemen, and DeMario Davis, who they just paid, is special. This is a challenge for us and our young team in our first home game in Vegas, and I'm really anxious to see whether or not we can stand up to it and compete.
Okay. Are you aware that Michael Thomas is officially listed as questionable right now with a high ankle sprain injury that he suffered in a freak accident in the final throws of that game yesterday while you were flying home? You aware of that?
That last statement told me nothing. It's Monday morning. We have no idea whether or not he'll be available.
Okay.
But if he is, and he probably will be, he's special.
Where did you put him? Where'd you put him when he came out? He was like one of your top receivers coming out of the Ohio State,
he,
right?
He doesn't like me.
Oh, you didn't have him? Are you serious?
No, I had him pretty much where the league had him. But obviously, I had him as a second-round pick, and that's where he went. And he is not, you know, I don't think he was very happy with, I think I had him, 46th or 47th in my top 100 list that year, and I think he went either 46th or 47th in the draft. So,
oh, man. All right,
I was kind of in line with where the league was, and we were all way low on him because, you know, he's incredibly special.
All right, so this last one for you, because, again, obviously there's no on-field conversations before the game really this year. But last year, who was the one that came up to you that remembered your evaluation on NFL Network as you were on the field for the then Oakland Raiders general manager? Who came up to you that you were kind of surprised, like, this guy actually remembered my evaluation from NFL Network? Do you remember that one?
The funny thing is they all do. And
yeah, they do.
And it makes for some intriguing conversations. And I mean, the guy, you know, some of the older Raiders remember my evaluations of them. So it's pretty funny.
All right. Mike, thanks for the call. How's everything? Life's good otherwise? Everything good? You're settled there in Vegas? It's all settled?
You know what? My family's healthy and I have a job, and I'm very appreciative of both. Yeah.
Well, be healthy, be safe. Congrats on that opener, and let's chat down the line.
Always a pleasure, Rich.
Right.
Thanks,
back at you. You got it. That's Mike Mayock, Vegas Raiders general manager. Take a break. We'll finish up. Set up the rest of the week as well. He's saying I told him nothing. He didn't tell me anything about Mario. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Mike Mayock, everybody. By the way, he said, based on everybody's telling, there was no one had COVID on that field yesterday. So if there's no one having COVID on the field, no one should get it. And if nobody went out and did anything silly, then no one should have had it on the field, right? Let's go. LFG.
Let's go.
On to week two. I'm glad the NFL's considering to still testing everybody on a daily basis, including Mike. It's great. Let's keep going. That was so great yesterday. That was so much fun yesterday. By the way, Josh Jacobs, right? Honestly, he's on the same field as Christian McCaffrey, he was just as dynamic.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
Very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your call in a second. Here's your top running backs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the best one of them all in terms of rushing yards. But look at Jacobs. We're welcoming back our radio audience here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're showing all the top running backs. Naheem Hines is going to have a little bit more to do.
Hit him with the Hines.
Hit him with the Hines, right? Malcolm Brown was the running back of choice last night.
In the red zone.
And Raheem Mostert, nobody hits his goal post on the opposing goal post. Nobody hits his head on the opposing goal post quite like him.
He took that pass for 80 yards,
I know, for sure. So... Mayock didn't tell us anything injury was.
Nope.
Nothing.
Didn't learn a thing.
Nothing. But he did say what Matt Nagy said. Anybody who sits here and says, we're done with preseason football, we're not going to see it anymore, that ain't going to happen. Because evaluators like Mayock and evaluators like head coaches will be basically saying that we're not going to do that again. And he's, interesting point, that sounds like Mayock would always talk about kids having opportunities in the NFL when he was sitting with me on a draft set, like when he would get irate that we would go back to the finger-pointing orangutan to announce the latest Colts pick, and he's ready to give the kid who just gotten picked in the draft his due. He would always get livid about that. Him basically saying he cut players they kind of liked who he never got to see tackle in a live game. And that's not fair, as he said. Okay. Chris Brockman, the final poll results over there that you have, if you don't mind. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so we're looking at the biggest shock from the sports Sunday. Had a couple NFL games on there, and Nuggets forcing game 7. Jags spoiling Philip Rivers' Indianapolis debut. 37% Nuggets force game 7, 32%. Bears, huge comeback win, 25%. Tom Brady loses his Bucks debut 7%.
There you go. Mike in Washington State. I've got about a minute for you. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, sir? What's up?
Hey, you know, I just really, really, really appreciate your knowledge on football. So I have a kind of a question about the NFC West.
Go for
the Seahawks.
Yep.
And like with the Seahawks, Jamal Adams is obviously awesome. Oh, Bob Wagner did his thing and stuff like that. But like, what did you see kind of like last year? We ran a 3 linebacker set. Now we're running a lot more safeties, and we were kind of coming in there. We had a bunch of no-names, not necessarily no-names, but on the nickel package, just covering. What did you see where you could see we're facing a really tough Atlanta team, obviously?
God bless you. I have yet to see the All-22 of the game, nor do I normally watch the All-22. I love that you're asking me such X's and O's. Based on what I have read and what I saw with my own two eyes when I was trying to keep an eye on that game because I was going against Matt Ryan in fantasy, and I have DK Metcalf. I'm being straight honest with you. I love that you call All-22, and this is the response I'm giving. That it did look like they were doing a lot different stuff with Jamal Adams than anything that they have done in recent years, and certainly it caught Atlanta a little bit on its heels because they would know Pete Carroll hasn't really changed his defense for anybody or anything. And, you know, you had, you know, Dan Quinn, who knows that team. And it did seem to be, and thank you for the call, it did seem like they were caught a little bit unawares. And we will see. You know, Falcons had some banged up players, and you've got also the fact that Jamal Adams is new there, and they're just letting him go. In the same way that caused friction with the Jets, Pete Carroll's like, attaboy.
Let it rip.
That's called, what's it called? Coaching. And, you know, Matt Ryan just racked up the yards when that thing was toast. The game was over. The jello, if you will, was jiggling, to use the famous phrase here in Los Angeles.
Nice.
There it was.
I say this evening, sir.
Yeah, what do you got?
I say the Steelers and the Titans. I go with the two road teams, although that's just, I'm still thinking the Broncos. As you know, the Broncos were my sleeper team. I just, Cortland Sutton and Von Miller are, if you had to choose one from each side of the ball, not named the quarterback, that's who I would choose. That would be very difficult for them to win without. It's tough to travel, as you just heard Kenyon Drake say, and I want to thank him, Matt Nagy, Chris Fowler, and Mike Mayock. Tomorrow, Mike Florio, Aaron Andrews, and more as we talk about the Monday night game. Zzz, plural. But I really like the Steelers tonight. And I need Saquon to go off for my fantasy.
Looking forward to Drew Lock.
I'm looking forward to Drew Lock too.
See, yeah, I want to see what that offense looks like.
So
I think Denver wins tonight.
So my final predictions are Steelers and Titans? I think the Titans can do it. They both can do Tuesday.
Later.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcast, Podcast One, and Spotify.